We are live.
Yeah.
Paul's giving you guys the
I'm doing
pre-game face.
Yeah, the anchor desk.
Good morning, Canada.
See, that's how Paul prepares, and then you have me as like I've been bouncing up and down doing my dance and
yes.
Listen, in the first dojo that we did, we were talking to everyone about how see how the sensei's in the back, right? And
yes.
He has these abs. And
he's ripped.
Yeah. He's ripped at like, I don't know, he's probably what, 60? So point being is that as I'm practicing for each one of these dojos, you know, I was like, I'm working towards being the sensei himself. Like right now I'm just a sensei, a code sensei.
A code sensei,
and
yes.
My esteemed colleague here, Paul LaBerge, is an app sensei.
I try.
Or should we call you an app marketing sensei for the purposes of this particular dojo?
In this context, we can say that.
Fair enough.
I am not a social media guru, and I can't get you SEO and Twitter followers. That's a different sort of discussion. This is app marketing and ways to make your app really pop.
I didn't even realize people still do SEO. Is that like, I thought search engines were smarter than that at this point.
Probably, but you'll see them on Twitter everywhere.
Fair enough.
Yes.
So, actually, before we get into that, because he's like, all ready to go, yeah, already talking about app marketing.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Code Kwon Do.
Let's do it.
Just in general, right? So, now, assuming you guys have actually been tuning in for all of these dojos, but if you haven't, that's perfectly cool. You can watch all the older ones on demand on Channel 9, so that's fine. And you will be able to see this one afterwards, since I know we always get that comment on the chat. Will this be available afterwards? Absolutely. And if you're watching this on demand, well, then you already know that, so it's all good.
There you go. Yeah.
But can't start a dojo without talking about the awesomeness of this year's developer movement, aka Code Kwon Do, because, wait for it, here's the line, don't code. Or actually, I screwed it up. Cut. Can we do that? No, we can't, because it's live. Anyway, here we go. Okay. Don't just code Kwon Do. Clever.
Okay.
Anyway, but what is it? What is it? So, similar to previous years, and if you haven't participated in developer movement in previous years, and this is your first one, well, that's actually even better, because this year's is actually quite awesome.
Yeah.
Basic premise, you build apps. You build Windows 8 apps, you build Windows Phone apps, you put them with backends in Windows Azure.
I was going to say, don't forget the services.
Well, you can't.
No.
You can't. Modern apps are all about the services. And actually, since you bring that up, make sure that you join me also next Monday, because we're going to talk about that which powers them all.
There you go.
AKA the cloud. But anyway, so point being, you build these apps, you get rewards. Well, actually, you get points, which you then can redeem for rewards. Now, the more apps you build,
the more rewards.
There you are. I was just making sure.
That wasn't scripted.
I was just making sure that he's paying attention. So, of course, you want to know what kind of rewards. So, if we look at what these kind of rewards are, very simple. Check it out. Shaker bottles, blah, blah, blah. Okay, nobody really cares about that. But let's scroll all the way down here. Check it out.
I see some stuff I like.
Xbox 360. Of course, that's already old news, right? But there's Xbox One on here, too. It just happens to be a little bit more points.
Yeah.
You got Surface 2 on here. You got Xbox One. You got a ZenBook. Okay, I happen to use my ZenBook. I love my ZenBook.
It's a beautiful device. I will say that.
You guys will see that in front of us here, Paul is actually using his Surface. So either way, either one's good.
Yep.
But this one is a Surface 2, brand spanking new,
mm-hmm.
right? Or $100 gift cards to the Microsoft Store, or other really cool things. Point being, how do you actually get these? Well, let's actually scroll back over here and see how we actually get these points, right? So the points are all about doing stuff. So guess what? You just register. I'm going to make this a little bit bigger for us to see here.
Better.
Yeah. Right? So if you just register, that's 1,000 points right there.
That works.
That's like enough for a shaker bottle. That's awesome, right? So right off the bat, here you are. Then you can actually complete an MVA course. Boom, another 5,000 points. And then you see the points just keep going on and on and on. But the good news is, check out this. I'm gonna zoom even more here. Check out this bonus at the bottom, eh?
Mm.
Bonus for publishing your first app. Boom, 5,000 points.
That's good.
Right there.
Yeah.
Come on, right? It's just, it's almost like we want to give things away.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting
at.
Yeah. And of course, you'll also notice on there that you get 10,000 points for a published app with 100 plus downloads.
Yes.
Now, this is actually where, so here we go. You want senseis, right? You want the knowledge of the senseis, the mastery of the senseis. This is actually that very reason why Paul is here with us today. Because the trick, or the story, the journey of enlightenment that Paul is going to lead us through right now is actually going to teach us, and by us, I mean you guys, really, in terms of how to actually promote your app so that that 100 downloads is nothing. But you'll see, there's some very interesting ways in there that you may or may not have thought of before. And it's really just, while some people might think app marketing is all like fluff and whatever, and you just kind of hope for the best, the truth is that there's actual scientific data behind all of this stuff. There's some really good strategies. And so instead of scouring the entire internet to go and find them, Paul has brought them to you.
Yeah.
So with that, Paul.
All right.
Tell us. What is the magic trick to earn 10,000 points? Because let's be honest, everybody's watching this because mm-hmm. they want to know how to get the most number of points. In theory, in doing that, you're going to learn some new stuff. But at the very least, you'll at least walk away with some extra way of getting 10,000 points.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's lots of ways of doing it. I mean, certainly there's no one way to, you know, get the downloads and get popularity for your application. We're going to teach you a few tips and tricks. Some stuff is probably very, very obvious, but you may not be thinking about it, to be honest, because it's kind of interesting.
Does that make it obvious?
Well, it does, because then you start thinking to yourself, well, that totally makes sense in the back of your head, but then you say, but I'm not doing that with my app, so why not, right? So,
that's true.
The other thing is, I don't know for people that are watching this either live or on demand, if you're an iOS developer, an Android developer, BlackBerry, or you know, any sort of mobile platform, most of what I'm talking about here today is actually fairly platform agnostic, because when you're trying to market an app, there's some things that you know are true across the board. So hopefully that will add value to not only what you're doing hopefully on Windows Phone, Windows 8, and Windows Azure, but also for any sort of other application and game development that you might be doing on other platforms, because it just makes sense.
Now with that, of course, if you happen to have caught the last dojos, so we did one on porting Android apps to Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. So interestingly enough, if you since you have those apps already, Paul's going to teach you some stuff that's agnostic. In theory, you can actually use that for that as well.
For sure.
But of course, you're going to want to market your Windows Phone first, right?
It's whatever you want, right? But okay.
He's being more neutral. I'm going to be a little bit more.
Yeah, but there you go.
But anyway. Oh, and Paul did mention, by the way, and I will mention again, this is totally live. So I have all your comments on the screen here. Feel free to interrupt us at any time, because guess what? When you interrupt, and by interrupt, I mean put some stuff up on the chat window, I get to interrupt him, which makes my job really fun. So by all means, please get those questions coming in. This is meant to be an interaction, a discussion, not just between Paul and I. And for those of you guys that are going to watch this on demand afterwards, just post the comment underneath the video. If you're watching it on Channel 9, you have the comments there. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can do that as well. Paul and I will get back to you as soon as we can, right after we see it pop up.
So, great.
Let's do it.
And I know probably some people will ask this. The deck should be available on Channel 9 with the video?
Yeah, once we have the video, once we have the video up there, then we'll actually...
Works for me.
Get that. Yeah,
cool. We'll make it happen. All right. So we're looking at my. We're looking at my my title screen. So, welcome to Nobody Loves My App. We're going to change that to Everybody Loves My App. It's an epic tale of tragedy, redemption, and adventure. It's going to be me that's going to be talking about it. My name is Paul Amerish. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft Canada. There's my Twitter information as well as my email address. My role is, if you're not familiar, I'm basically an evangelist for Windows Phone, Windows 8, and Windows Azure here in Canada. So if you have any questions around any of those platforms, I'm happy to field them. And if I don't have the answer, one of my esteemed colleagues, such as Jonathan or some of the other folks that are on our team can help you out. And if not, then we can probably see what we can do to get you in touch with the right people that can find the answer to that.
AKA senseis.
Senseis, that's right. So what we're going to be talking about here today is it's not technical. And in fact, it's a lot more around thinking of your app not only as a piece of code that you've shoved into some sort of store. It's actually, it's a work of art. It's something you should be proud of. And it's something that you should almost be treating like as a business if you're not already doing that. And what I mean by that, it might scare you, but it shouldn't be too scary, because what we're going to do is really discuss strategies for you to actually gain traction for your app. So one of the things that, you know, it's really interesting when I talk to developers out there, they say, you know what, Paul, you know, I built this app, you know, for the Windows Phone Store and I put it in, I'm so proud of it, and nobody's downloading it. It sucks, right? And then it's basically, I take a look at the person and I say, have you told anyone about this app? And they answer, well, no. And I go, there's your problem. So there is a fallacy out there that, you know, if you build the app, people will come, right? Especially given the fact that you have, you know, multiple apps in these stores today, right? So obviously, iOS, the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, the BlackBerry App World, as well as Windows Phone Store and Windows Store, they all have lots of apps out there. And getting traction, getting your app noticed, and beyond just getting noticed, downloaded and used, is not something that is a trivial task. And as a result, what we want to do is really drive home some of these lessons that can help you as an app developer really sort of pop out and really sort of strategize how you're going to actually go to market, if you will, with your application to your user base and potential users. All right. So I've set this up into three different sort of areas, and we'll take a break in between each volume, as I call it. So I'm using a little bit of skeuomorphism if you're in the design crowd around, you know, using a book as the way to sort of talk about this. We're going to basically talk about it in three different areas so that, you know, we'll take a 10-minute break in between for a bio break or whatever it is that you need. And the first one we're going to talk about is really talking about setting the stage. So the prologue is, let's talk about this. You know, you built an app, truth kind of hurts, right? You know, as I said before, most apps don't get downloads. They don't get the love that people are expecting out of the apps because of the fact that some of these users simply just don't know anything about the app. It's a sad state, but it is true, right? It's very, very tough to get people to notice your application, and beyond that, get them to download it. And then beyond that, get them to use it on a regular basis so it doesn't become something that gets orphaned on a phone or on a tablet or whatever it is, or even worse, gets deleted and never downloaded again. So that's really the truth of it. And it's a sad truth, but it is a truth. And let's talk a little bit about some statistics around each of these stores. So I mentioned the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, BlackBerry App World, and the various different Windows stores out there. You take a look. You know, this was, I think, as of earlier this year, these stats, so they've probably grown quite a bit since then, to be honest. We're almost at 1 million in the Apple App Store. It's a lot of apps, right? Google Play is at around 1 million as well, probably a little bit more than that. And then you can see the Windows Phone Store, which is at 175K there. It's actually probably closer to around 180 at this point. And then above 100K for the Windows Store. And then you obviously have the BlackBerry App Store at around 120,000 for the BlackBerry 10 platform. It's a lot of apps. And getting your app noticed in that sea of apps is very, very difficult. So there's lots of things you can do to actually stand out, to actually make yourself feel like it's something that, you know, people are going to want to download your app, but also be able to find it. So let's think about that. So here is some other stats. So a Deloitte report on app downloads. So a mere 20% of all apps in the stores get to the 1,000 download threshold. So 1 in 5. And in fact, that seems a little high to me even, to be honest. It's very, very difficult. So we talk about, for example, getting to the 100 download threshold for developer movement, Kokwondo, right? That's nothing compared to, you know, reaching the 1,000 download threshold. Some of you are maybe following us today or online on demand may have already reached that with their apps. And in fact, we've seen a lot of app developers in Canada have a lot of success on Windows Phone and Windows 8 with their applications, but not everybody has that. And I think the reason for that is because people really aren't thinking about their application in a strategic way. What are you doing to make sure that developers, or not developers, I should say, but users really understand and know what your application is all about? What are the things that you can do to garner interest in getting a user to download that application? All those types of things are really, really important. And then beyond that, it's the experience that the user has within the application, right? That keeps them coming back, you know, not just a, you know, try it once and then discard it type of thing. So it's very, very difficult to get to that. Hopefully, throughout the rest of this session, you'll get some ideas around how to do that. So let's talk about motivations, right? So why did you get into mobile development, right? Mobile development, and I mean that as tablets, so Windows 8 as a mobile application platform, because yes, Windows 8 is absolutely a mobile OS, certainly is with tablets, and you're even finding it with the 8-inch tablets as well, which becomes even more mobile. Windows Phone, iOS, Android, BlackBerry, all those types of things, right? Why did you get to it? So here's some interesting things that we found, and this is in order from, this is statistics from a report by Vision Mobile. There's really kind of an interesting sort of thing that you see here, right? So why did you get into it? This is in order of the popularity of the answer. And the first one was sense of achievement. Well, that's kind of interesting, right? There was a challenge for you to actually build an application, and maybe that was a personal challenge. Maybe you were taking on a bet from some friends or family. Who knows, right? But ultimately, you feel that the first reason why you actually decided to get into mobile development was because you thought it'd be cool and you challenged yourself to do it. That's kind of cool. Second, it's being recognized for your work, right? So popularity. That's kind of interesting, right? So, you know, being known for the fact that you've actually built this application is kind of a cool thing as well, right? So you gain some notoriety. You have the ability to you know, ride that wave, you know, maybe put it on your resume even or something like that. So there's that. And then finally, or not finally, but the third one is starting a business, right? So you might be in a situation where, you know, yeah, you know what, I got a full-time job and I'm doing this and I love what I do, or maybe you don't love what you do, but you decide to create a side business at first. Or maybe you dive in head first and actually go full-time on this right from the beginning. Very few people do that, but some do. But, you know, starting a business, you want to be a startup, you know, and the interesting thing is when you're actually building an application, automatically you are a startup of sorts.
I was just going to say it, and most people don't even think about that. Like, everybody has apps out there, and you know what? Even if your apps are free, it's still technically a product that you have out there. So that still technically considers you as a startup.
Yeah.
Right, and it actually boggles my mind that some developers, you guys, for example, like this is your work out there. It's all of this stuff that you've put into. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting you have to always put a price tag on it, but there is always value to it.
Oh, for sure.
Right, yeah. And so you might as well actually call it a startup. And more importantly, let's say even if you put the startup part aside, for those of you guys who are more the freelancer type people, guess what? That's actually your online resume.
Yeah,
forget anything else, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Windows Phone Store and the Windows 8 Store or the Google Google Play and all those guys, that's effectively like the new age online portfolio. Like back in the day when it was all about website design and we used to create, you know, a website for our website portfolio.
Yeah.
So now the Windows Store and the Windows Phone Store just does that for you.
Yeah, it's a living resume. It's a showcase of your work, right? You know, and if you're treating it as such, you probably put a lot of care and attention to making sure that the quality is there and that, you know, it's a great experience for users and things. And it's interesting you mentioned that because also I was talking to a group of students probably around a couple weeks ago. These are game development students out of Kitchener at Tri-Oz College. One of the things that we were talking about was, okay, so you're learning all these great new things. So maybe you're building a Unity game or something like that, right? Or maybe you're using whatever it is that you're using. It doesn't matter. You've got this game and you built it and you submitted it as coursework or whatever. Well, that's great, but that's not going to differentiate you when you enter in the workforce, for example, right? So put out a game that you're actually building. Maybe it is part of coursework and you've tweaked it to be a little bit different or something like that. But, you know, put it out there. Publish it. Make it a living piece of your resume to say, you know what, I took the initiative to actually do this, and here it is. And you can also back it up with data, right? You know, as you're doing that.
Well, and that's why I brought it up as soon as you brought up number two, being recognized for your work.
Yeah.
Usually when you say that, people think be recognized for your work, that means be recognized like, you know, from a people downloading your app's perspective or it being in the store. But being recognized for your work is actually just having it out there and showing what you as a developer can do. You never know what
Absolutely.
Opportunities might actually come out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really kind of interesting. And that goes also for you if you're not a student, right? You know, like maybe you're just getting into this and you want to build up some street cred, if you will, about building apps. It's a great way to do it, to start publishing, right? Because you learn really, really quickly. And I got a few stories around that that can probably help.
Yeah. And, of course, if you're already going to do that and you're already going to put the effort in, you might as well actually then submit it to Developer Movement, get your points, get your rewards, which, of course, is why we're all here to begin with, right?
But yeah, exactly.
Other than the fact this is awesome content.
Yeah.
We're here to learn how to get an extra 10,000 points because we're going to get those 100-plus downloads.
Absolutely. It's not that hard to do. You just have to put a little bit of effort into it. So
and you
got to
pay attention to Paul.
Yeah. The last thing I do want to mention on this slide before we get away from this awesome picture of Android, which I love this picture. I took that actually. I got that from Google, if you can believe it or not.
Yeah. Of course you did.
Yeah. Is number five was a revenue opportunity. So second last in the motivations was I can make money off of this. Now that's really odd, right? Because you know everybody talks about the app space as being like the new Wild West where you can make billions. Well, yeah, you can. It doesn't happen that often, but you can make a lot of money if you want to do it. But it's not the main motivation. It's certainly when you get started. You know, that sense of achievement, saying that you've built something that you put on the, you know, on the store and people download and love. It's a beautiful thing. And I think that's probably a good mentality to start. Don't think that you'll make millions of dollars right from the get-go. Heck, you take a look at Rovio, who built Angry Birds. They had, you know, 7 or 8 games that failed miserably before they actually got to Angry Birds. And they were, you know, very close to the end of their capital to actually build games. So they were sort of a success story, but they weren't an immediate success. You know, they worked at it. They honed their craft. They really thought about what was important to, you know, the experience and created the game finally that was amazing and has literally changed the culture as far as like how we look at games from a social perspective.
And from a retail perspective and from a everything perspective.
Yeah, for sure, right? You know, now they're into toys and everything else like that. Now, this it might be a little bit tough to see, so I apologize for that. But basically, let's talk about some primary objectives as to, you know, why a developer picks a specific platform. And this is really interesting as well, again. So if we take a look, you know, maybe I'll make this a little bit bigger. I don't know if I can do that. Does that screw up the...
No, it's all good.
So... The speed, and so for Android, the very first and most important platform criteria chosen for developers was speed and cost of development. So this was the very first reason why developers actually decided to go to Android. Second was revenue potential, so they can make money. And then third was the ability to reach a target customer. It's kind of interesting that money wasn't first. iOS, revenue potential was number one. Okay, I guess it makes sense, right? It's the King Kong of all the app stores. Maybe not in volume, Android has that, but the idea is that you know you can probably make more on average in the app store for Apple, but we'll see if that's actually true or not. The second one was the ability to target customers, and then the third one was speed and cost of development. So people have told me in the past, and maybe you have different experiences, but you know, building an app in iOS is fun, but it's a little bit more difficult than, say, for example, Android, and certainly a whole lot less than, say, for example, Windows Phone. HTML5 was interesting because you know, speed and cost of development, because you can do things with a whole bunch of free tools as well. Ability to target, you know, many customers, obviously, because if it's an HTML5 site, you don't actually even have to go through an app store. It's just there so you can use it. And the weird thing was number three was documentation. So there's so much documentation on how to build for HTML5 that it made them, you know, they read up on it and got excited and decided to do it. Windows Phone, no surprise here in a lot of ways, to be honest, that speed and cost of development is number one. Time and time again, I've talked to developers, and they've said that, you know what, Windows Phone is the best platform to actually build applications and games because it's so quick to actually do that. The second one was the rich platform in APIs. So, you know, Microsoft, you know, love us or hate us, we do know our APIs. We are very developer focused in a lot of ways. And we have very rich sort of capabilities that allow you to do things very quickly so you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? So all those APIs are already set up.
So I know how you said it's no, it's a given or it's no, no surprise that for Windows Phone, it is about the skills and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I find actually quite interesting is that unless you've actually tried it, not everybody actually realizes that all the skills transfer over from everything else. Yeah. Right. So if you're doing those Windows 8 apps, then that transfers over. Mm-hmm. If you've done any kind of other .NET apps, then that transfers over as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just, it's a very interesting, you know, obviously we see it as, well, that's a no-brainer. And I think many of the, I guess you can say many of you guys that are already building Windows 8 applications would probably say no-brainer too. But some of the other developers, the just the .NET developers that are either doing web apps or desktop apps or whatever, that technically isn't as much of a given.
Yeah.
Right? But so here we are saying to you, hey, guess what? It is actually, in fact, all of your skills transferable from that. And more importantly, Paul has done a session on this in the past, but you can also check out, there is a great Microsoft Virtual Academy course on building applications for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Right? So the nice part is, and I don't know if you're going to get talking about it a bit later, but think about what everything that Paul is about to tell you, just in general, and obviously here we focus on Windows Phone, but A, all of what you're going to learn in these sessions apply to Windows 8 as well.
Absolutely.
Number one.
Yeah.
But number two, think about this, okay? The app that you build for Windows Phone, you can then, and submit it, obviously, developer move it, you can then take the same code, transfer it across, build the same app for Windows 8. Obviously, you're going to take into account, you know, screen resolution differences and so on and so forth. But guess what? From one idea, now we have two apps that are going into the store.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So as you're thinking about marketing and you're thinking about your objectives and why you're getting all into this, I guess what I'm trying to get at to you is don't necessarily think about just the one app on the one platform.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, think about it in multiple platforms, and not even just the Windows side, right? You know, maybe you have a great idea. You know, you start on Windows Phone or Windows 8, for example, and then you move forward on other platforms as well. Or vice versa. Maybe you've got a great idea that you've already built on Android, for example,
absolutely.
And then you can bring it to Windows Phone and Windows 8.
It's see previous developer dojo here.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So, we do have a question, actually, on the chat about do we have any similar data for Windows 8?
Not on this, because this specific report was very focused on Windows Phone because they didn't have the data yet for Windows 8 at that point.
Well, I mean, Windows
it's a good
data
question.
Has been accumulating now.
It's
for
accumulating.
A good year, right?
Yeah, but what I would say is this, and there's no science behind it to back it up, so take it with a grain of salt, but whatever you see for Windows Phone is probably directionally correct for Windows 8 in a lot of ways, right? Because they are very similar platforms in a lot of ways. And the opportunity supporting Windows and Windows Phone is similar in a lot of ways as well. I'd say actually Windows 8 has an even better opportunity because of the fact that there's
devices.
So many more people out there that are using Windows and going towards Windows 8. So
Well, and there's the different people, right?
Yep.
The different devices and the different things that you can go about doing that. So I love how you said directionally the same, because it would be, but the numbers obviously would
absolutely,
be slightly
off. Sure.
I think actually it's probably safe to say, though, that from a development perspective, those numbers would still probably be the same.
Probably very similar.
Right, downloads and usage and ratings and stuff like that would probably be different, but these are considerations from a development perspective as to why you would do it. So
absolutely.
That makes sense.
All right. And then, of course, the requisite smartphone market share slide just to show this. So no surprise, Windows Phone is not exactly the highest. This was as of Q3 2013, so it was a couple months ago, I guess you could say, is when this first came out or whatever. But you know what? Let's call a spade a spade. Windows Phone has less market share than Android and iOS. No surprise there, but guess what? We are growing, and we are growing fast. We are the fastest growing mobile operating system out there, and we are gaining traction, and there's some great, great things coming down the pipe as well that I think will make it even more exciting for you guys. So don't discount Windows Phone. I think we have a really bright future, and I think a lot of this will sort of start playing itself out very, very quickly. You can even see in in the reports out today, you know, in the media, that we have some great, you know, traction within various different markets, including, you know, Central America, Africa, for example, some of the third world countries, quote unquote, you know. We have a really great story around, you know, low cost sort of mobile phones, especially with our acquisition of Nokia. Yeah. It's a good story, and it continues to get better.
But you know what though, this is a good place where you kind of can switch it around and say, because there's always that predicament, right? In terms of if you have the devices, then developers make the apps. But if you have the apps, then people get the devices.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I always look at these market share diagrams, and by no means am I suggesting that they're not important. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, keep in mind that as each one of these areas grows and stuff like that. That actually, to me at least, is the opportunity to get in when it's actually smaller, if you will, because then what you have to offer is more unique than when it's this huge thing and everybody's like saying, oh, I must develop for this platform.
Yeah.
And then your app kind of gets drowned out in a sea of apps that do the same thing, but your app might actually be that much better, but nobody sees it because there's, you know, 1,300 other calculators.
Yeah. Well, exactly, right?
I was going to say fart apps, and then I decided maybe I shouldn't. But there we go.
Anyway. you can flip it on its head, you know, and say, you know, the opportunity is that much greater because, you know, there's potential explosion in device sales and things like that for Windows Phone. And, that, and you know, you may think that's true, you may not think that's true, but the fact of the matter is we are a contender, and this is something that's growing in size. That's not debatable because the research and the market fact is there. There's opportunity. Yeah. So, you know, just bring your apps over or start building apps on Windows Phone.
We actually have a great comment in here as well in terms of Rob is saying that he's done 10 times better on Windows Phone than iOS or Android.
Yeah,
so that's actually really perfect. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I mean, your results may vary, but I'm actually starting to hear more of those types of stories. You know, things that surprise people, right? You know, just because you know you're building an application doesn't mean you have to go to the king of the hill, right? The iOS or the Androids.
Yep.
You know, the opportunity could be there on other platforms. And I'm not just talking Windows Phone. It could be Windows, right? Windows 8 is a mobile operating system. Let's just call that what it is, right?
So since we're already on it.
Yeah.
And I know we always say that, but can we clarify why we actually call it a mobile platform?
Well, yeah, because, okay, let's take a look at, so it doesn't make calls, right? But mobile is beyond just a smartphone form factor, right? So tablets are out there. Windows 8 is exciting. You know, some people love it, some people hate it. It is a polarizing sort of experience for some people, but it's growing, right? Already, I think, and again, I don't know for sure, but I thought I heard that Windows 8 has more market share than Mac OS, right? Which is a desktop operating system.
Not as much as Windows 7 for now.
But we're growing, right? And the interesting thing is, with these new form factors, like, for example, the Dell Venue 8 Pro is an amazing 8-inch sort of tablet device.
Cute.
It's not just cute. It's a full-fledged work machine in the form factor of a mobile device.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. You get both, right? So, I mean, Windows 8 allows you to do a lot of the things that you could do or, you know, that you typically see in a mobile scenario, except for maybe making a call. And even then, you got Skype or whatever it is that you want to use. But you can do everything else. So it's a mobile operating system. It allows you to do things that are mobile. We have a store for it. We have apps and games and things like that that are centralized. Or you can install things, you know, on your own if that's what you want as well. So don't ever think that Windows 8 is not a mobile operating system. It absolutely is. But we're sort of getting further away from it. And I don't want to get to your slide.
I had to make sure that we covered that because a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think of Windows 8 like that.
No, they
because
don't.
You assume, as soon, like you said, as soon as you said mobile, that means phone, which it actually doesn't.
Yeah. Windows 8 is not your parents' Windows. Let's put it that way. So. All right.
One way to put it. My parents didn't have Windows.
But. Well, there you go. My parents had DOS.
There
I had DOS too at one point. But anyways, we digress. So let's take a look at revenue. So this is average revenue per app. Now, you know, you can take a look at iOS. The average revenue per app is around $5,200. And it's pay per download is the most often used revenue model, right? In-app purchase to an extent as well. Android is all about advertising, and they make around $4,700. And these are US figures, by the way. and as paper download as a secondary. Windows Phone, this actually surprised me when I saw this, is like $3,600 on average per app. In-app advertising and pay per download. Now, the interesting thing about this, the reason why you don't see in-app purchase is because in-app purchase was really only introduced in Windows Phone 8. So we were a little bit behind in that, but we're actually seeing that in-app purchase is becoming a very important component to the revenue model or the business model that you might have around generating revenue for your Windows Phone apps. And I think, again, directionally correct for Windows as well. I think you can see that. And then obviously, you know, you have HTML5 at around $2,900 and $1,200 for BlackBerry 10. But these are averages, so they're not, you know, your results may vary. And to be honest, like, every single one of these platforms will skew things because certain apps will make mint. They will make lots and lots of money. And then others will make nothing, right? So the interesting thing that this does show is the fact that there is an opportunity to actually get revenue from this if that's what your motivation is. But at the same time, it's not easy because there's so many apps out there in each of these stores that you need to do the things like we're going to talk about around how to actually get to that revenue that you're hoping to get to. Okay. All right. Chapter two.
I almost feel like every time we do these chapter ones, there should be like a, you know, dun dun dun.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Of cliffhanger music.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. Yeah.
Chapter two.
All right.
So let's spread idea.
Okay. I love this. This is awesome. I think this is one of the best graphics around. I mean, just take a look at Shatner, right? He knows he's the thing, right? I'm not going to say the word that I was going to say.
I'm the card kind of guy, but yeah. Kirk works too.
I like Kirk. Kirk's suave. But, you know, let's take a look at this, right? So we're talking about app ideas, just to set the context here, as you can see, we saw from the chapter title page. But the reason why I put this on here is, you know, Captain Kirk knows he's awesome, right? He can't hear you because of the sound of how awesome he is, right? You know, that's pretty cool. Now, let's put this onto the idea around applications, right? Is your application awesome? Is your app idea awesome? Let's get more to the point. Is it?
Maybe. Are we allowed to say hell yeah?
Yeah. Okay, you can say that.
Is that appropriate?
Okay, but let's talk about why I'm saying this. In 15 seconds, if you have an app idea, can you tell me what your app is awesome at?
Let's start counting.
One.
14.
Two.
13. 12.
Yeah.
Now I lost count.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So the answer here, this is interesting because a lot of, I would assume that you think you have a great idea if you've actually thought of it and you're actually going to think about building an app for it, right? But can you actually, you know, vocalize and sort of, you know, capture exactly what that app is going to be awesome at in 15 seconds, right? It's got to be quick. It's like an elevator pitch. I mean, at work, you probably hear about this all the time. What's your elevator pitch? What are you good at? Type of thing, right? Well, same thing goes for your app. If you can't tell me within 15 seconds what your app is awesome at, if I'm in a conversation with you, you've lost me, right? You have to have this down pat. This is your mantra, right? Because if you don't know this, then you already lost the game because you don't believe in your app or you haven't put the work in to really think about what your app is going to be amazing at, because this is will be the, your focus when you're actually building and designing and publishing your app. So
now, does this apply to, wait, go back. Give me okay. Kirk again.
Yes.
I like having him on the screen. So being knowing all these things in 15 seconds, would
yes.
you say that that's something that, I mean, it's sort of a given, but let's put it out there. Mm-hmm. Is it one of those things that you think of beforehand, or you're going to go in, you're going to spend all that time and effort and achievement and everything that you had before, and then figure out what your app is good at?
So my answer is ideally you should be thinking about this before you even start designing anything.
Because, you know, but it's the developer syndrome. I have an idea.
Well, yeah, you
I got to go do it.
Start coding, right? Yeah, I mean, that's fine, you know, and maybe you did the code before you really thought about what the app was awesome at. It's still a good exercise to go through that process yeah. of finding out what your app is awesome at, because you may actually find out that your implementation is not exactly what you envisioned through
True.
This, right? So you can actually use this as a focal point to change your application so that you can actually create something that is amazing and, you know, will draw users
and
in.
By and by change, he means enhance.
Change
enhance. Enlighten. Well, I'm speaking in the word of the sensei. Oh, in Latin.
Yes, naturally.
I write too many emails. Anyway.
All right. So I'm going to give you a few good examples that I've heard from actual developers that I've talked to. And then we'll talk about some ones that are actually not so good, because I think those are good to sort of call out as well. There are no names attached to any of these. So hopefully none of you that told me the bad examples are actually here. But we'll see.
And, if you are on the chat and it is your bad example,
yep,
you should just put it, hey, that was me.
Exactly, right? So here's a good example that I found, right? So my app is great at finding the perfect rescue pet for your lifestyle from the local animal shelter within 5 minutes. So it's interesting because it has an emotional connection, because if you're an animal lover, you're probably going to want to know more about this app. If you're not an animal lover, well, then you're not going to like the app, but that's sort of, you know, neither here nor there. But it also provides you with actionable information, right? Find a rescue pet, right? For your lifestyle. So you can input your lifestyle. And you can find that pet within the animal shelter within 5 minutes from this app, right? Emotional, actionable, value. Those three things you can find out right away from this. So that's a good example. Here's another one. My app will figure out what object you are thinking of by asking a maximum of 6 questions.
That one's brutal.
It's interesting, right? I like it.
It makes my brain hurt.
Well, it's okay. You know, maybe it's a little bit wordy in some ways, but okay.
Well, no, but hold on. I'm saying it makes my brain hurt, but that's actually exactly why I would go download it.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? So there's an emotional connection because you want to stump this thing, right? You know, you want to say, okay, I'm going to give you 6 questions. I bet you can't get it, right? So there's an emotional connection because you want to beat this app. And then the second one is actionable. You basically think of an object. And then the value is whether or not, you know, you're surprised that the app can do it or not, right? So there you go. 3 things right there. Third one that I like. Not only does this game have more zombies in World War Z, because we're in Canada, of course, for you to kill, but you also get to fight them in space. Oh, and you get to compete against your friends. So that's kind of cool, right? Because everybody loves zombies. Everybody loves space. You get to fight zombies in space. That's kind of cool. And you get to compete against your friends. So again, emotional connection. Okay, if you like zombies or if you like, you know, games and you like competing against your friends, there's your emotional connection right there. Actionable, you get to kill zombies and you get to beat your friends. And then the value is the bragging rights.
So we have one on the chat.
Yes.
That I wanted to run by you and see what you thought.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this one goes as follows. And actually, very nicely done. You actually updated it from your previous one. So the original one was, my app is awesome and at memory training.
My app is okay.
Hold on. But then it got better. Better said as, a fun memory training game using adorable cat photos.
Ooh, okay, so emotional connection is the cat photos.
What is up with everybody and cats?
I don't know, it's...
Cats are all over the internet now, I know, I don't get it.
It's I blame lolcats. But let's take a look at this.
Emotional connection.
Emotional connection.
I had a cat for 17 years.
Yep.
There's an emotional connection.
Exactly, right? Actionable. Let's see this again, so...
Here we go. Fun memory training game using adorable cat photos. That almost actually kind of... has a nice little bounce to it too.
Yep. So actionable. I would maybe tweak this. This is just, you know, some feedback I would give is like memory training. And like, what do you mean? Like by, you know, matching cats on cards or something like that. Maybe that's it, right? So maybe it's like the game memory or something.
Or the waves that your device is emitting.
Okay. Tinfoil hat time. Okay. And then the third one is the value is you get to see cats and you get to make your memory better. So to me, that's cool. I like it.
So we have another one for you to analyze before you go on to your next one.
Yes.
Word Portal is a casual word game. Play at your own pace. Compete online.
I like it. Okay. Word Portal.
But why? Why do you like it?
Okay, so emotional connection.
App Sensei.
Yes. Emotional connection. If you're big on word games, so like if you like Wordamin on Windows Phone or Windows 8, which is an amazing game, by the way, I love it.
Terrible at it.
Or if you like word games like Boggle, which is similar type of thing, you know. Yeah, or Scrabble or whatever it is that you're looking
for. Scrabble,
you know, there's an emotional connection right there. Let me read the rest of it here because I completely forgot again. Okay.
So for those of you that don't have it in front of you, I'll repeat it. Word Portal is a casual word game. Play at your own pace. Compete online.
Yes. So it's actionable, which means that you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. So there's actually showing that it's not like WordAmint, for example, where you can say, well, I'm never going to get to the top 10 because it's impossible to do.
It's actually exactly what I say every time I turn around.
Exactly, right? So, you know, compete at your own pace, you can do it. And then the value is, you know, you compete online so you can get that those bragging rights with your friends or whatever, or you can actually, you know, beat other people, which is
gamification, man. It's the way to go.
So love it. Love it. Keep it coming.
Well done. Thanks for sharing those, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, bad examples. Here we go. These are fun. Okay, and these are real. Like, don't get me wrong. One of them is a paraphrase a bit, because the person did sort of expand on it a little bit later, but I wanted to use the first one because of shock value. And here it is. It's Facebook, but for hamsters.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So basically that's what he said, and he said it jokingly in a way, and goes, but really what it is I've created this social network where, you know, you're a pet owner and you can provide, you know, pictures of your pet to other friends and stuff like that. And I'm going, okay, well, first of all, the emotional connection isn't there because it's another social network to have to worry about that basically is the same thing as Facebook or whatever you want to call it. Maybe you like hamsters. Maybe there's an emotional connection. I don't know. But you know, there's nothing actionable, right? This doesn't tell you anything. Like, what does it do? Okay, I assume you can share photos and you can friend people, but I don't know, right? And then the value, well, okay, if you're a pet owner, maybe, but, you know, there's other services out there that can probably do it better. Now, this gets to a point that I'll talk about a little bit later. You don't have to have something that's completely new. You can expand on something. You can use an idea that and do something a little bit different. So keep that in mind. All right. My app allows you to create tasks and delete them when they're done. Okay. It's actionable. And maybe there's some value there because it's a task manager. But, you know, there's no emotional connection, right? So why should I care? That's really what this is about, right? There's so many task apps out there that, you know, well, you know what makes this different than the sea of other task apps? So think about that. And then finally, my game uses augmented reality to place ghosts on the screen for you to shoot. Okay, there's an emotional connection there, and it's actionable in some ways, but it doesn't tell me the value I get out of it other than just shooting something, right? So what is the value? Now, this one's, some people might say that, yeah, this one's not too bad. But, you know, I would expand on this because I think this is an idea that, for example, you know, this is your app idea. You got something there, but I think you need to expand on it and provide more focus into what this app is really all about, because this will be your elevator pitch that you're going to send to everybody that you talk about when you publish this app. So think about that. All right. So in summary for this part, right, figure out what your app is awesome at, because you obviously think that there's something awesome about that application that you need to actually make that you actually wanted to build it, right? So write it down, put it on a whiteboard somewhere, or paste piece of paper and post it right in front of your desk, right? You should look at this piece of paper or this mission statement every day when you're building this, because this will be your focus.
I'm loving the faces. You're like in their face.
Well, it's true, you know, like it's important. This is really, really important because this, it's not just an exercise just to start you off and get you pumped and say rah 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 and then you start building and then you forget about it. No, this is your app, right? This is your mission statement, and this is why you will be successful, because you have an app idea that's awesome and has value, has emotional connection, and it's actionable, right?
So is this one of those moments where I should flash that right back on the screen and say, take a screenshot, print it, post it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that here. Everyone, take a screenshot. Okay, give you 2 seconds, take a screenshot, print it, even though nobody actually ever prints things anymore, but anyway, and post it, and that's going to be awesome. Honestly, you guys, this has been the funniest chat ever. I'm quite literally almost falling off my chair every time. So you know how you were talking about, you know, the Facebook for hamsters?
Yes.
Right? So I have to share it.
Okay.
Only because obviously you guys that are watching this on demand afterwards are not going to have the live chat going back and forth. But so you're talking about, you know, the emotional connection to the hamster. Oh. And then it's like, okay, so I'm going to try to dramatize it to you. It's like, oh, the agony of having my pet hamster deny my friend request.
Nice.
I quite literally. literally almost fell off my chair. Thanks. That was...
Yes.
So I had to contain myself until you got to the summary because I didn't want to throw you off. But
forever
I don't know
alone.
I don't know if you saw me on the side. I was like, I quite literally almost fell off. And as you saw there, I kind of... If I were on the screen, I would have fallen off the screen too.
But that would have been fun.
Rob has a good suggestion too. He says, take this.
Yep.
Set it as your desktop.
Yeah, I like it.
That's awesome.
I never even thought of that.
It's a
I
great
love it.
One. Absolutely. Maybe, you know what we'll do? We'll add this as a wallpaper attachment to the video too.
Giddy up. I love it. Rob, well done. Thank you. All right, chapter three.
Ooh, chapter three.
The cruel beauty
chapter
of evolution.
Chapter three.
Okay, so everybody familiar with Charles Darwin and what he did? He basically formulated the theory of evolution. I'm pretty sure everyone here is probably very familiar with what evolution is. Now, what is interesting about this and what I've learned is that evolution is alive and well in the app world, right? The best apps, the ones that are forever at the top or have longevity, learn to adapt. And what that means is that their developers or their publishers, the teams that actually build these applications and games, understand the pulse of their user base and understand trends to actually build in new things that will make things better. Great example of this, I think Rovio is amazing at doing this. So the people that built Angry Birds, they built Angry Birds, you know, nothing too special about the app from, you know, it's a physics engine basically that you, you know, shoot stuff in, knock stuff down. That's all it is, right? But they evolved it over time. They saw an opportunity to, you know, create partnerships with brands that could have an affinity that they could actually create an emotional connection with people that beyond just what Angry Birds was were, right? For example, Angry Birds Star Wars or Angry Birds Seasons, right? So I'm festive because it's wintertime. So let's talk about, you know, a Hanukkah theme or, for example, a Christmas theme or something like that, right?
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Paul.
I try. So creating and evolving your application is really, really important. And your competitors, the ones that are worth their weight, will be evolving their apps. And what I mean by competitors are people that actually have apps that are similar to yours, right? So if you do not evolve and if you do not keep a pulse on what your application is compared to your competitors, you'll lose. Maybe not right away, but you will lose. So you have to keep that in mind, okay? So, gut check time. Let's talk about this. Competition. Can you name the top five competitors of your application in whatever, right? In your app store or maybe in all the app stores? This is not a let's do this exercise
question.
Today. Well, it's not, but it is for the sake of this presentation, right? So think about that. Because if you know what your top five competitors are, and you determine what the measure is of top five, because it could be a number of different things, right? You'll have an idea, and this should be probably underneath that mantra of what your app is awesome at. Each of these app names that are your competitors, make sure you keep up to date with what they do, right? Because it's very, very important. And then once you understand what your competition is, you know, how does your app compare? You know, maybe if even, you know, you haven't coded it yet, but feature-wise, maybe you have some ideas. What is your app great at compared to those your competitors? Be honest, right? What is it not good at? Where do you need to improve, and where do you need to go above and beyond what your competitors are doing to actually do that? And then how do others assess your app to the competition? So it's not just about you. Do some focus groups, right? Here's my idea, family and friends. What do you think? Give me the brutal, honest truth, because I don't need the sugarcoating, because I'm actually going to spend time on doing this, and I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Okay, and then think into the future, right? What new competitors can you see in the app space? Now, maybe not specific names, but maybe what are the new features that you see your app evolving to that will, you know, create new competitors down the road? And then can you assess and figure out or anticipate what some of your competitors will be doing with their apps to evolve it over time to try and gain that market share from you as well? All things that are very important. These three things you should be thinking about all the time if you want to be serious about actually, you know, kicking some butt with your competitors. Because if not, then your competitors, I assure you, at least a few of them are thinking of that. So
actually, I love that we're doing these exercises live, and we're actually, I mean, you're guiding everybody through, but what's actually kind of really cool is that on the chat, they're actually using it as a live exercise to go back and forth.
Good.
Awesome.
That's what I love, yeah.
Now, for those of you that are watching this on demand, take the opportunity to actually, as Paul's kind of going through all of these different things and kind of having those, hey, you should think about this kind of moment,
yeah.
Stop the video, think about it, and then continue on. Because
yep.
That way, it's almost like treat this as like a live workshop slash exercise.
You got it.
Whenever you want. So yeah, continue on. And if you're not posting it in the chat, that's kind of cool. You want to keep that to yourself. Cool. But it looks like it's a great exercise. So take advantage of it.
Great. So I did want to sort of, I mentioned Angry Birds before, but like just to accentuate this point, right? This is a screenshot from the Windows 8 store. So the Windows store, I should say. I did a search for Angry Birds Guide. Not Angry Birds, but Angry Birds Guide. And it came up with 10 apps, okay? It's not that many, but I'm sure there's more in other app stores, for example. But there's 10 apps right there. And say, for example, you decided to create an Angry Birds Guide, you know, level by level. You already have 10 competitors that you have to one-up, right? So somewhat esoteric in some ways. Make sure that you're doing the right things and you really do your research. This is your competition on this platform. Find out what they're good at. Find out what they're not good at. Those types of things. Another example, weather. Weather apps are the new hello world of all mobile apps,
yeah,
right?
There's a ton of them.
So I don't know the exact number on, this is a screenshot from the Windows Phone Store, but there's an awful lot of them, right? So you don't necessarily have to go through every single one of them to see if they're good or not, or where they might be better than yours, but you should probably have an idea as to what your top five competitors are. So if you're building a weather app for Windows Phone, the Weather Channel and the Weather Network are probably two major competitors that you need to think about. WeatherBug would be another one. WeatherFlow is one that I would probably consider just because it's a fantastic app in of itself. And then another one that doesn't show up here that I'm very fond of is, say, for example, WeatherMaster. I take a look at all those types of apps and find out what they're great at, you know, what the app flow is for each of those things. You know, is it detailed? Is it simple? You know, what are the types of things that they're trying to drive home and really think about? Because this is your competition, and this is just on single sort of platforms as well. You may want to think about beyond just your own platform that you're working on. So here's another one. Those of you that might know this, some of you might not. I'm looking, it's funny, when I was going through this exercise, I was going through and thinking about what's something esoteric that you know, I could probably think about and might have some connection with some people here. So back in my days in early high school, I was a Dungeons and Dragons freak. And more to the point, I wasn't so much into D&D as I was into this game called Rollmaster, which also had something called Middle-Earth Role-Playing, MERP for short. So I decided to go to the Google Play store. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, actually, back then. I don't play anymore. I've grown up, I guess. But regardless, the thing is, I looked at the Google Play store, like Rollmaster. Nobody really thinks about, you know, these types of things. But already, there's three apps in the Google Play store that have something to do with Rollmaster. So even if you were an aficionado of this role-playing game and you wanted to build an app for it, well, guess what? You already have competition. So even if it's something that you think is, you know, completely unique, maybe you do actually have some competition to do the research. And then curling on the App Store for Apple App Store. There are tons and tons of apps and games for curling on the App Store.
This totally wouldn't be a Canadian show or a Canadian live event if we didn't somehow bring in Canadian things. Like, so you have curling right now,
yes,
on the screen. You had hockey before.
Did I?
You did.
Oh, okay. Where?
One of the pictures.
Okay.
Had hockey.
Okay.
Bing. We were talking about some, we have some non-Canadian folks on the stream,
yep,
I guess we would call it, which is fine. Hey, hi, how's it going?
Exactly.
But it's just very funny how Paul makes everything Canadian.
Well, no, the reason, well, yes, but beyond that, it's interesting. Like curling is, you know, it's actually very popular in Canada. If you're not in Canada, you'd probably be surprised at how popular it is in,
yep,
Canada. But worldwide, probably not as popular, right?
Hey, it's in the Olympics.
It's in the Olympics, and it actually gets a lot of airplay during the Olympics, which is interesting, right? Just The Norwegian team in the Vancouver Olympics had some interesting uniforms. You may want to bing that and find out. It was actually kind of interesting. But anyways, I digress. The bottom line here is that there's a lot of curling apps, right? So maybe this is something that, you know, maybe you didn't think that there'd be a lot. But yeah, guess what? There's a lot of curling apps out there.
So already. What's the point in that? Reinvent curling.
No, it's actually understand your competitors.
Yeah, fair enough. Sorry, I wanted to say curling one more time.
Yes, absolutely. And if you've never played it, it's a lot of fun. I will say that. All right. So we're actually done at the end of this one. We're going to take, what, a 10-minute break or something?
Yeah, you know what? It's that time to go back to stretch
yep.
it. So do a fluid balance adjustment.
Yes, there you go.
And so it is now 2:02 Eastern time here in the studio. Why don't we come back at 2:10, which is just under 10 minutes, but this way it at least keeps us right on track to chug ahead. So with that, we will go to commercials. We will be right back. If by any chance you have to leave us before we come back, just make sure underneath the video player, you're going to see an eval link for today's dojo.
Yeah.
That feedback is super important to Paul and I, because guess what? That is our job, and we like our job. So positive feedback from you makes us not only happy, but make sure that we actually keep doing this. And actually, if there's a better way that we can do it for you, then by all means, please let us know. So we'll be back in 10.
Looking forward to it.
But actually, you know what? Before that,
yes,
I have a surprise for you.
Oh boy, what?
Yeah. So if any of you guys know Paul, every time Paul comes on a show like this with me, he has certain requirements that we have to meet.
A rider. I have a rider.
He has a rider. He likes a green room, so I have one of those beside him, so that's fine.
Yes.
And he also happens to have, every time he comes on to do a live show, he needs to have dinosaurs. So I made sure, with the help of our amazing studio guy, Tony, here.
You can't see him. He's right over
there. You can't see him. He's right over here. He is the one that actually makes us look good. So we thank him for it. But are you ready for this, Paul?
Wow. Here we go. Jurassic Park.
Here we go. Ready?
No.
Where is it? We had too much time.
Oh, wrong way.
Should we do it again?
I lost my hand. Where's my hand?
He ate it, obviously.
Apparently, yes.
Okay, we'll bring him on one more time and then we'll go for it. There he is. Coming at you hard. Okay, guys. With that, we'll see you in 10.